Upon the birth of the boy who is now deceased, I received hundreds of letters from far and near, inquiring whether he was indeed the promised reformer who was to be the guide for the people. I told them that until then I had not received any clear revelation pertaining to this matter. It was nevertheless conjectured that he might be the promised reformer, and for good reason, because many of his personal qualities had been mentioned in various divine revelations, and they spoke of the purity of his soul, the excellences of his nature, the greatness of his ability, and the enlightenment and inherent goodness of his soul, and they all bespoke his perfect potential. But in view of the fact that all these were inherent qualities, which did not require that the child should attain maturity, I did not make any categorical statement on the basis of divine revelation that this was the promised boy who would grow to maturity. I also delayed the publication of Siraj-e-Munir in expectation of some divine revelation that would reveal the truth about this boy, for only then could I write about it confidently and comprehensively. Since I never expressed any definite opinion about the deceased boy on the basis of revelation, and never published a single revelation in this connection, I am only left to wonder who whispered all these things into the ears of my opponents. Nonetheless, even if I had issued a clear and categorical announcement stating that this child could well be the promised reformer and blessed with a long life, basing this view on the fact that divine revelation had revealed the noble qualities of the deceased child and had given his name such as Mubashir, the promised one, Bashir, bearer of glad tidings, Nurullah, light of Allah, Sayyib, heavenly rain, Jiragdeen, light of faith, etc., which reveal his perfect potential and inherent light, such an interpretive statement would not have been objectionable in the eyes of fair-minded people. On account of their just and perceptive minds, they would have understood that I had reached this conclusion on the basis of a few titles which were not very specific and admitted of more than one meaning and interpretation. And even if they considered this explanation to be an error of judgment, they would have deemed it as unimportant and inconsequential. The ancient divine law relating to revelations, dreams, and visions that are not very specific may not be understood by those who are slow of understanding and blind of heart, but people of wisdom and insight readily understand that an error in interpreting a prophecy is nothing objectionable. Many eminent prophets and messengers have made errors in interpreting some of their visions and prophecies, but it did not surprise or alienate their clear-minded and enlightened companions, who saw that the error lay not in the substance of the revelations or visions, but only in their interpretation. The Promised Messiah has given a footnote. The Torah clearly shows that Moses, alayhi salam, made errors in understanding and communicating some of his prophecies, and the promises of instant victory and freedom that had been made to the Israelites were not fulfilled in exactly the same manner. Therefore, when the Israelites saw things happening contrary to their expectations, they became extremely frustrated and, overcome by their chronic impatience, said, "O Moses and Aaron, would that God treat you as you have treated us?" It would seem that these impatient people had given in to despair because Moses' words had led them to believe that they would soon be free. But this did not happen, and some difficulties intervened, which they had not been told about in clear terms. All this happened because Moses alayhi salam himself had not been given any clear information about the intervening difficulties and the length of their trials, and it was his own inference that the ignoble Pharaoh would soon be defeated through manifest signs. But God, in accordance with his eternal practice towards all his prophets, and in order to try Moses alayhi salam in the early stages of his mission and to fill him with the awe of his istighna, which is being independent and besought of all, kept these intervening difficulties hidden from him. If all the coming trials and afflictions had been revealed to him beforehand, he would have been reassured and his resolve would have been strengthened. But in that case, he would not have been overawed by the ordeals by means of which God had intended to raise his and his followers' spiritual status and make them recipients of divine reward in the hereafter. In the same way, Jesus' disciples had believed that the promises of worldly success and prosperity that the Messiah alayhi salam had made to them would be fulfilled very easily and in a short time. Some of the glad tidings the Messiah alayhi salam gave them even seemed to imply that he would soon establish a great kingdom, and some of his disciples even began collecting weapons in anticipation. The Messiah alayhi salam also spoke of his second coming in a manner which suggested that the disciples and their contemporaries would still be alive when he returned to the world in glory. And it seems that Jesus alayhi salam was himself inclined towards this view, which he impressed upon his disciples. But as it turned out, his interpretation was wrong and he had made an error of judgment. Another amazing thing mentioned in the Bible is that close to 400 prophets made a prophecy about the victory of an Israelite king, but it was not fulfilled and the king was met with defeat. See 1 Kings chapter 22 verse 19. In my case, however, none of the prophecies that I have made on the basis of revelation have turned out to be wrong. Divine revelation had clearly foretold the birth of 2 boys and also that some of my children would die in infancy. See the announcements of 20th February 1886 and 10th July 1888. In accordance with the first prophecy, a child was born and he soon died. The second child, whom the revelation refers to as Bashir II and also as Mahmud, has not been born till today, 1st of December 1888. But in accordance with God's promise, he will most certainly be born within the time stipulated in the prophecy. Heavens and earth may pass, but the word of God can never be averted. Fools laugh at his revelations and ridicule his holy tidings because the end is hidden from their eyes. I now return to the main text.